Okay, let's begin with Rav Soloveitchik's approach to the rebellion of Korach. The Makoros that I'm going to use, there are different Sfarim that have Rav Soloveitchik's Divrei Torah. Certainly one of the best is Rav Shechter's Sefer, the Nefesh HaRav, on the Rav, and Mipnini HaRav. I'll be using Nefesh HaRav, where Rav Shechter quotes this idea from Rav Soloveitchik. Also, there are several Sfarim in English, which present the Rav's approach to topics. There's Reflections of the Rav, Volumes 1 and 2, and there's a Sefer called Shi'urei HaRav. These are different Sfarim that were put out with some speeches or essays of Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, so let us begin. We know that Rashi quotes the Medrash that when Korach made his attack, his rebellion against Moshe, he came to Moshe and he met with the following claim. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, if you have a talus that's full of tchelas, does that talus also need a strand of tchelas in the tzitzis? We know that according to the Torah, when you have your tzitzis, the 8 strings, so at least there are different opinions. One or two or several of them should be the color of tchelas, some form of blue. So Korach said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, we have, if your whole beget, if the whole garment itself is tchelas, does one also have to put a strand of tchelas in the tzitzis? And Moshe said, yes. And Korach began to make fun of Moshe. It doesn't make any sense. Why should it be so? If one strand of tchelas is enough, then certainly if the whole beged is tchelas, you don't have to have one string of tchelas in the tzitzis. This is the idea that Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the attack of Korach. So Rav Soloveitchik analyzed this rebellion on several levels, and we'll start from the beginning, and we'll just go back to the beginning. Let's start from what is the symbolism of the tchelas in the first place, and how does this whole tchelas question fit into the rebellion of Korach? Okay, now, it goes as follows. There's a Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel, and the Gemara asks, what's the purpose of what's the idea of the tchelas in the tzitzis? The Gemara says there in Menachos the following idea. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, why was tchelas put in to the tzitzis more than any other color? So the Gemara says, it's Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Tchelas domel liyam, v'yam domel lirakia, v'rakia domel lekisei hakavod. Domel lekisei hakavod. That the tchelas is the color of the ocean, and the ocean somehow is like the sky, and the sky is like the kisei hakavod. And Rashi explains that the tchelas will remind us of Hashem, the one who sits on the kisei hakavod. That's the symbolism of the tchelas. It's the ocean, the sky, the kisei hakavod. It's somehow that symbol to remind us of the Shechina. That's the idea of the tchelas. Okay. So what's the idea here of the white tzitzis and the one string of tchelas? So the Rav explains the following idea, mamash, a very, very beautiful idea, and a real yesod in Avodas Hashem. So the Rav explains as follows, that symbolically the color white denotes clarity and rationality, things that are clear. When the Torah, when the Navi talks about doing tshuva and being forgiven from one's chataim, so it says that your sins will be white, white like the sheleg, you'll be pure. White is a symbol of clarity, purity, things that make sense, things that we understand in Aramaic. When the Gemara wants to say that a certain approach is more clear, it uses the word mechavarta. The root of it is ches vav resh, which is the root of white. So we see that white and clarity go together. Ela mechavarta. It's more clear. It's whiter. It's more clear in this way. The white is a symbol of clarity. Okay. What's tchelas? Tchelas, of course, really is the opposite. When the Gemara says that the tchelas is like the yam, and the yam is like is like the Rakia. These are things, the Rav says, these are the grand mysteries of human experience. They're very hard to quantify, very hard to have an exact understanding of. The ocean is so vast, the sky is so large. They're boundless. They represent things that are, in a sense, beyond human reach. Things that are beyond. And ultimately, of course, the Kisei HaKavod represents the ultimate and beyond, that we don't fully understand, certainly, Hashem Himself. So the idea is that with the white tzitzis, we have the blue tcheles. White symbolizes things that are clearly perceptible. Tcheles refers to the realm which is only vaguely grasped. It's elusive. It's a little bit unclear. Oh, what's the idea? So the Rav said the idea is as follows. Man is a rational being, and we go through life using our rational minds, and we think and we work things out, especially in the modern world with the scientific progress that's made. We try to understand everything and quantify everything, and that's the way man is. And man should use his rational ability to think to work things out. However, beyond that, there are things that are beyond human understanding, things that we don't understand. And as much as science has made progress, there are still some mysteries in life that are beyond understanding. And this certainly applies in the spiritual realm, in the realm of Ruchnius. There's one thread of Tcheles that pertains to the spiritual realm, the Rav explains, where man is humbled by the mystery of existence. Here he needs the guidance of revelation and the religious perceptions of the soul, which means as follows. As clear as things can be in the natural world, and you go to a scientist, you go to a doctor, there are things that we don't understand, things that don't make sense in history sometimes, things that don't appear to make sense in our own lives, and sometimes aspects of Avodas Hashem that we don't fully understand. That's the Tcheles. It's like the ocean. You don't have a full Havana of the ocean or the sky, or of course, ultimately, the Kisei HaKavod. Things that are a little bit unclear. This is the symbol of the Tcheles. So the message then of Tzitzis is, the message is that a Jew has to always realize that you have to, when it comes to spiritual matters and spiritual issues, you have to, as the Rav says, have the guidance of revelation. The guidance of revelation to help you deal with these things that are not understandable. Not everything can be understood. So what do? You have to go to the Torah. Or, in our terminology, you go to a Rav to help explain to you what's the understanding to get a Havana. If a person doesn't understand something, you go to the expert. So, in the realm of spiritual life, you go to a Rav to get guidance. Things are unclear. Things are hazy. Someone who is closer, in a sense, to the Kisei HaKavod than you. Someone who is closer to the Masorah, who has a better Havana, you go to him for guidance. So then the tzitzis become this symbolism of the concept of Masorah regarding matters of Ruchnius. This is in Nefesh HaRav, page Shin Ches. The idea is as follows. He says, there are certain things that the Rakia and the Yam, they're so vast. Ein Hasecho Onoshi Yachol Letovsam. The human mind can't fully grasp them. Everyone needs a Rebbe to go to for guidance. There's always something which will be a little beyond your understanding. Everyone needs a Rebbe. That's one symbol of the tzitzis with the Tcheles. And then Rav Shechter here, as he explains what the Rav says, he goes on and he says, V'afil kvar nifta rabo, sarich tamid ledamos b'rayono, heyach haya mori v'rabi posik b'gai gavna, o eich haya noeg b'gai gavna. How would my Rebbe paskin in this case? What would he think in this case? It's interesting Rav Shechter adds this in. I mean, I'm assuming that the Rav said this himself. It's interesting that Rav Shechter says over many times that sometimes in Shir, when the Rav was working on a topic, either in the Gemara or sometimes in Halacha, he would close his eyes and think to himself and say to himself, what would my father say about this question? And try to figure out what his father would say. The Rav's Rebbe was his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He taught him much of Kol Torah Kula. They learned together for many years. And the Rav would think about, what would my father say about this case? So this is the idea of the tzitzis. This is the idea of the tcheles. It's interesting, when the Rav first went to Cheder, so the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was the Rav in the town of Chaslavich, a Lubavitcher town. And they had a Rav who was not a Lubavitcher, the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That was the custom in the town. And the Rebbe, the Melamed, in the Cheder, was a Lubavitcher Chassid. So the Rav said that when he was first in Cheder, the Rebbe would have them learn Tanya instead of learning Gemara. And eventually the Rav's mother, the Rav's parents, noticed this, and they weren't happy that the Rav was learning Tanya instead of learning Gemara. So they took him out of Cheder, and the Rav's father privately taught the Rav Gemara, a good portion of Shas. They learned together for many years. They learned by themselves in the local shul, one-on-one together. And the Rav's father taught the Rav a good portion of Shas. And the Rav says that he has these very fond memories of learning Tanya as a young boy from his Rebbe. And the Rav would quote the Tanya a lot. And he got that, he developed that love for the Tanya from the very beginning when he was first in Cheder. Okay. Anyway, that's the basic symbolism of the blue and white. Oh, now. So this is exactly, the Rav explains, something which Korach was trying to question. The idea is as follows. We know from Rashi and other Mefarshim that Korach had his personal reasons why he was attacking Moshe. Rashi quotes he was questioning the Nasius, who would be the Nasi, the leader in the Shevet. And there are other Pshatim as well as to what the exact particular claim that Korach had against Moshe. Fine. However, the Rav explains that for Korach to get the people behind him, Korach didn't want this to be a personal rebellion. He wanted the people to be behind him. Every rebellion needs a rallying cry, some sort of cause that the common person can latch onto. And the Rav says this exactly was the rebellion, was the idea of Korach, that is as follows. We know that every rebellion against authority needs an ideology to arouse the fervor of the people and sustain its momentum. It needs a slogan or a motto which projects a noble idea to replace the intolerable status quo. The rallying cry which Korach chose was common sense. The common sense rebellion against Torah authority. He proclaimed that all reasonable people have the right to interpret Jewish law according to the best understanding, for all the community are holy. Here's how the Rav explains the Psukim. Korach says in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, Rav Lachem, Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshin, uvasochem Hashem, masuwe umadua tisnasu akal Hashem. He says, all the Eda, the entire assembly, all of them are kadosh, all of them are holy. Why do you raise yourselves up above the Kal Hashem? Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Everyone can understand. Let every person understand the Torah according to his own understanding. This was exactly the claim that Korach was making. This is the idea that we quoted in the beginning, from the Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Korach said to Moshe that if a beged is full of tcheles, why do you have to have one string of tcheles? Why do you have to have... It doesn't make any sense. And he was making fun. Korach was saying, look, it doesn't make sense what Moshe says. All of us understand that you don't need tcheles if the beged is tcheles. So we see that Korach's claim, the example which the Medrash brings, is exactly this idea. Common sense tells you that you don't have to have a string of tcheles when the whole beged itself is tcheles. And this is exactly the attack of Moshe, of Korach against Moshe. The Rav goes on to explain, in down-to-earth logic, the lowliest woodcutter is equal of Moshe. Meaning, when it comes to this basic common sense, anyone can understand that, can have an understanding. The appeal to populism evokes considerable support because it promises freedom from centralized authority. It flatters the people's common intelligence, and it approves the right of each Jew or group of Jews to follow their own individual judgment. This was the idea. Oh, so it comes out here that what the Rav is saying is that the example which the Medrash brings, that Korach came to attack Moshe as part of his rebellion with the tzitzis, there's a double layer, there are several layers of depth in this example. Number one, the idea as follows. Korach says, everyone can explain the Torah in his own way. Everyone has his own havan in the Torah, common sense, every person. So that's the idea that you don't need a Rebbe. You don't need this string of tcheles. You don't need this one string of tcheles, because everyone can be their own Rebbe. You don't need to have a Rebbe. That's the symbolism of the case, of the example that Korach brought. Exactly this idea. You don't have to have a Rebbe. Everyone can be their own Rebbe. And in a similar way, the idea that the whole Beged is tcheles. What's the symbolism the whole Beged is tcheles? That literally everyone's his own Rav. I'm tcheles. If we said before that the tcheles symbolizes things that are unclear, the ocean and the sky and the Kisei HaKavod, so Korach was saying, Moshe, all of us, Kolei Dekulam Kadoshim, all of us are like a Beged of tcheles. Some of the Parashim point out that we all heard Hashem speak. Korach was getting at when he spoke to Moshe. We heard Hashem speak. We were all in the Vim. So all of Am Yisrael, they're their own Beged of tcheles. So it's a very beautiful double-layered meaning that Korach used the Parsha of Tzitzis to make his point. This is the depth of the Pshat and the Medrash, that A, all the Jews are on a very high level. They can be their own Rav. Their whole Beged is tcheles. They heard Hashem speak. Two, in a similar sense, it's basically two sides of the same coin. Since the whole Beged is tcheles, then you don't have to have your own Rebbe, i.e. the one extra string of tcheles in the strings themselves. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense. So Korach used the parsh. So when Korach wanted to attack Moshe and make fun of the Torah, Lo Aleinu, that it doesn't follow common sense. Korach used the example of tzitzis, which is the example of the need to not just follow common sense, to have a Rebbe. This is the depth of the pshat in the Medrash, that tzitzis became the example of the struggle between Moshe and Korach. Of Moshe and Korach. This is the idea. Okay. This is what the Rav explains. Now, of course, Korach is wrong. Korach is totally wrong. As smart as a person is, a person needs a Rebbe, needs guidance in Ruchnius matters. Not everyone is the same. Just like in the secular disciplines, you have different levels of expertise. So too, certainly, Lahavdil, in the Torah discipline, there are different levels of expertise, and this is exactly the crucial mistake, the fundamental mistake of the whole rebellion of Korach, that we have to have authority, we have to have Rebbe, we have to have someone who's closer to the Masorah than we are to explain the Torah to us. The Rav gives an example here, you know, that you don't find people who aren't learned in engineering to suddenly tell someone how to build a building. And yet, when it comes to Torah, you'll see people who aren't as learned who just start giving their own opinions. Oh, what this Rav says doesn't make any sense, and what this Rav says doesn't make any sense. It's a terrible idea. I give a mushel that, you know, you don't need a Rebbe. Follow what makes sense to you. Use your common sense, whatever level of knowledge you have, and you can have your own subjective approach to how you understand the Torah. That's exactly the mistake of Korach, that as much as some things in life are white, but the areas of Ruchnius often have this blue, it's not fully clear, and you have to go for guidance to the masters of the Masorah, to your Rebbe, and back to his Rebbe, and so on. and so on. This is the rebellion of Korach and why it fits that the rebellion revolved around the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis. Even if the beged is kuo tchelas, you still have to have a string of tchelas. The symbolism being, even the greatest rav has to always look back to the Masorah and look back to earlier, what would the Masorah say about this topic? If things are unclear, I'm not going to decide for myself. I'm going to decide based on the Masorah, either based on my Rebbe, what my Rebbe would have said, or nowadays the poskim said that the Sfarim are like the Rebbe. You know, what would the earlier Sfarim have said about this topic? This is the idea of Masorah. Okay, now the Rav develops this a little bit further. He says, Korach was committed to the doctrine of religious subjectivism, which regards one's personal feelings as primary in the religious experience. Hashem, Rachmanu Libo Boy, Hashem wants the heart. And that's the goal. The goal is to get your heart excited, and whatever makes sense to you to get you into the mitzvah, that becomes the mitzvah. On the basis of Korach's theory, the mitzvah would have to correspond to the mood that prompts it. The value of the mitzvah is not found in its performance, but in its subjective impact upon the person, its ability to arouse a devotional state of mind. Once you say you don't need a Rebbe, once it's based on your approach, well, then it's subjective. And every person would have the right and would have the ability to explain the Torah within his own worldview. So let's say the mitzvah of tefillin. So the mitzvah of tefillin, well, it depends how it affects me. The purpose of the mitzvah of tefillin is to achieve a certain state of mind. So then, if it's not going to achieve that state of mind for me, then I won't do it. It's all based on my own attitude, my own approach. He says, if let's say a mitzvah would cease having the impact that it's supposed to have on people, then their observance would be open to question, and new rituals more responsive to changing sensitivities should perhaps be enacted. But what follows from his reasoning, the Rav explains, what Korach's reasoning is, that the mitzvah may be modified according to changing times, or even according to the individual temperaments of different people. There is to him no inherent redemptive power in the mitzvah beyond its therapeutic effects, its capacity to evoke a subjective experience. The mitzvah is thus reduced to the level of an inspirational means and not an end in itself. This is exactly the idea. You're supposed to be inspired by the tchelis and the tzitzis. Well, good, your whole bag is tchelis, so of course you'll be inspired. The answer is no. Just because you think you'll be inspired if the whole bag is tchelis doesn't mean that you don't put tchelis in the string. Even though it seems based on common sense, that if the beged is tchelos, you don't have to have a string of tchelos. That's not true. You do. So the mitzvos are not subjective. They're not based on what you think the mitzvah makes sense. It's based on what Hashem thinks, i.e. what the Masorah says as a hemshech of what Hashem passed down to Moshe says about each and every mitzvah. So this is what the Rav says. Now, the Rav goes on to explain as follows. Certainly, Judaism recognizes that there is a second level of Avodas Hashem. There is the act, the Rav calls this the outer mitzvah, the objective outer mitzvah that one does, and there is the subjective inner experience that accompanies the mitzvah. Certainly, Yahadus is interested that a person is moved and inspired by the mitzvahs. Both the deed and the feeling that, both the deed, the mitzvah, the act, and the feeling that accompanies it constitute the total religious experience. But the former without the latter is an incomplete act, an imperfect gesture. In other words, if you just have the ma'aseh mitzvah without the inner experience, so it's not perfect. It's not a mitzvah b'shrei Musa. The halacha values both. The halacha wants both. We certainly want both. However, the Rav explains, we do not regard the subjective experience as primary. How it affects you is not the primary element of the mitzvah. I'm reading here from Reflections of the Rav, Volume 1, page 143. Rather, the objective act of performing the mitzvah is our starting point. You start from the objective ma'isa mitzvah. I do what Hashem says, I do the ma'isa mitzvah. The goal is proper kavana and genuine dvekus, but this goal can be achieved only if they follow the properly performed maisa mitzvah itself. This is how Yadus works. Certainly, the halacha encourages a person and wants a person to experience that inner, somewhat subjective experience of getting close to Hashem. But that inner experience has to flow out of the objective maisa mitzvah that one is doing in performing the mitzvah itself. This is how Judaism works. This is the mistake that Korach made, and this is the exact message of the Tzitzis. Of course, logically, it wouldn't make sense that you have to have a string of Tzitzis, but no. It's not just logic. It's the things that aren't always so logical, and it requires the string of Tzitzis as well. It comes out to be a dual symbolism, that the fact that even though at first glance it wouldn't be logical to require a string of Tzitzis when the whole beged is Tzitzis, that at first glance isn't logical. The truth is, the Torah says, the fact that at first glance it would seem that if the whole beged is Tzitzis, it doesn't need taka, a string of Tzitzis, and it appears not to be logical. The answer is, yeah, it might not seem logical to you, but that's exactly the point. We have a ruchnius idea, and a ruchnius idea is sometimes beyond normal, common sense, human understanding, and you always have to have the string of Tzitzis to exactly symbolize that point. It ends up being a beautiful, very, very deep idea. Oh, yeah, good. The Rav says this is a chiddush. It's an insight that not everyone commonly understands, but this is the basic yesod of Judaism, that the only solid reality is the mitzvah that the halacha can define and control. It's the mitzvah act that which Hashem has commanded, which allows for and helps create the emotional responses that the halacha would want. This is the idea of the rebellion of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu's response with the idea of the Tzitzis and the Tzitzis. Oh, the Rav concludes, the approach of Moshe prevailed. The survivors of the catastrophe which befell Korach's group later conceded that, in the words of our sages, Moshe is MS for Taroso MS. This judgment is still valid. In our day, we are witnessing a resurgence of strength among those religious groups that are committed to the oral, the Torah Shebal Peh, and who therefore recognize the Gdolei Yisrael as the legitimate teachers of Klal Yisrael. Common sense by itself can only spread confusion and wreak havoc when applied to the halacha, and just as it does with all specialized disciplines. Just like if one wanted to use their common sense and how to build the space shuttle, certainly it would not work. So too, if one wanted to use common sense only in explaining the Torah and explaining mitzvos, that would be mistaken, and it would cause tremendous problems. This is the Rav's approach to the rebellion of Korach. This then comes out to be one of the major themes of the whole story here of Korach, the idea of doing mitzvos even though we don't fully understand them. It's a major, major yesod. If Hashem says something, you do what he says. There's a beautiful vort here. I heard this vort from Avraham Soloveitchik, but I think others say it as well. And the vort is as follows. You know, you have the word tam. Tam means reason, and tam means taste. Tam means reason, and tam means taste. What's the idea? So Avraham said as follows. Sometimes the reason for the mitzvah, it adds flavor to the mitzvah. It makes the mitzvah taste better. It talks to you. You get more into the mitzvah when you know the reason for a mitzvah. But it's not the essence of the mitzvah itself. And that's the idea that tam, reason, means flavor. That the reason of the mitzvah adds flavor to the mitzvah, but it's not the essence of the mitzvah itself. Once I thought of a mashal about this. Mitzvos are like vitamins. They're good for you. If Hashem tells you to do a mitzvah, it's good for you. What if you don't understand it? It's good for you anyway. You know, you have vitamins. I don't know how vitamins work. I'm not sure what goes into the vitamins. The doctors make up the vitamins, and we assume they're good for us. That's why they're called vitamins. They're good for us. Vitamins are good for you. Oh, but
So vitamins are like mitzvahs. They're good for you, they're healthy, you do the mitzvahs, you eat the vitamins. But the mitzvahs with reasons are like Flintstones vitamins. Ah, vitamins that taste good. Mitzvahs that taste good. You talk to them more. You know, if Flintstones vitamins, you'll take five at a time because they taste so good. That's the idea of the reason for the mitzvah adds flavor to the mitzvah. That's the mashal. The reason for the mitzvah, adds flavor to the mitzvah. But it's not the essence of the mitzvah itself. The Flintstone vitamins taste better. But even if they didn't taste good, you'd eat them anyway because they're good for you, they're healthy. Well, that's one of the lessons for Parshas Korach. That's one of the lessons for life in general. So that's Nasa Venishma. This is a major yesod that flows through the summer parshios, it flows through life in general, it flows through the Chumash. Oh, that's the mashal. Tam means reason. Tam also means flavor. Oh, it comes out then.
One last point that I found in the Sefer Shirei Harav, which goes as follows: When Korach first approached Moshe, Moshe responds, "Boker v'yoda." Wait for the morning and Hashem will make known, Hashem will show, will make known who is the one who he is going to choose to be the true, who he has chosen to be the true leader. We'll get to later why Moshe, on a pshat level, said to wait till the morning. But the Rav here brings a beautiful pshat, a beautiful idea about the word boker. Boker is bet kuf resh. So the Rav points out that those letters, boker, the root of bet kuf resh, also means to discriminate. When you investigate something, you try to figure out, you discriminate, you differentiate. That's levaker. Like levaker, let's say you have to check a carbon to see that it doesn't have a mum. That's called bikur. You're investigating. You're seeing, does the animal have a blemish or not have a blemish? And you have to decide, is this called a mum? Is it not called a mum? That's bikur. You're investigating. You're differentiating. You're discriminating. So the Rav has the following idea. According to Korach's approach, everyone's the same. At night, it's dark outside. Basically, if you see many people at night and there's no light, it's like one big group of people. The sense of individuality, that somebody is different, is more special than somebody else, you don't see. It's one big mass of people. That's the nighttime approach. The Rav calls it a period of monotonous sameness. A dulling of differentiation. However, in the morning, then, when there's clarity, then you can see somebody's taller, somebody's shorter, people are different. Every person is unique. So in a symbolic sense, in the morning symbolizes, yes, there are some people at this level of understanding of Torah, some people at a higher level of understanding of Torah. This is exactly the point. Korach was saying, everyone's the same. We all can approach Torah in our own way. We all have the same authority, the same right to approach the Torah in our own pshat. We don't need the great leaders. We don't need to be under the authority of the Masorah. Moshe says no. In the morning, Boker, and you'll see, Hashem says no. There are leaders, and Hashem has a reason why he chose this one to be this leader and this one to be that leader. In the morning, Hashem will make known whom he has singled out and chosen. The singular qualities of the individual are significant. Variations do emerge out of the indistinct night. Each individual is consecrated to a unique task, which only he can perform. There is justification for leadership and authority. That's from Shirei Harav, page 102. It's a very nice drash level of boker v'yoda. Wait for the morning when things will be clear. When you can see the differentiation between people, that's exactly the point. There is supposed to be one leader. And Hashem chooses who the leader is supposed to be. There is supposed to be rabbinic guidance or spiritual leadership, the Kohanim, Avodas Hashem, etc. That's an additional comment of the Rav regarding this point. Okay.
Okay, my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita has two Sfarim on the Rav. One's called Nefesh HaRav, and one's called Mipinine HaRav. And in the back of these Sfarim, Rav Shechter has Divrei Torah of the Rav on the Chumash. So I want to share with you a few ideas here relating to the summer parshios from the back of the Sefer Mipinini HaRav. Short ideas, but I think there's each one of them Mamish is a beautiful, beautiful yisod. Now, regarding Parshas Korach, we've already discussed during the shiurim on the Chumash that part of Korach's chait was questioning the leadership of Moshe. That does Am Yisrael need a special leader of Moshe? You know, who says Moshe should be the special leader? So the Rebbe just points out as follows. In the key pasuk where Korach makes his complaint, the pasuk writes, "Vayimuel," this is in Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Gimel, "Vayimuel lihem, Rab lechem, ki chol hayta kulam kedoshim, ubesocham Hashem, umadua tisnasu akal Hashem. Why have you raised yourselves over the rest of the congregation? Everyone's kedoshim." Rashi says they all heard Hashem b'Sinai. They all heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai. Oh, kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. Oh, now normally we assume that the chait, the mistake in Korach's approach, was the second half of the pasuk when he says madu tisnasu al akal Hashem. That's the focus of Korach's mistake. That's the focus of his chait. The Rav goes a little deeper. The Rav says, no, even the first half of the comment is also reflects a basic mistake in Jewish hashkafa, which itself was the root of the chait itself. It says here as follows. When Korach says, kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim, he says, what's the pshat? Kulam shavim b'kedushatam ma'alatam madregatam. They're all equal in their levels of kedusha. And therefore, the pasuk continues, "Madu atit nasu, abad ze atzmo chait ayom benora." He says to say that everyone's the same. That itself is a chait. Shereye shalom de Torah v'yigeimba. There are those that are learned Torah and work very hard. V'yesh tamam aretz who aren't as knowledgeable in Torah. Yesh tamad chacham ulumat to ulumato yesh gadol b'Torah. In other words, Ein Klal Yisrael Kulam Shavim El Yesh Hevdelim Bein Zeh LeZeh. It's a major yesod. A Jew has to recognize there are levels of greatness in this world. There are levels of greatness. And Korach's complaint that Moshe shouldn't be above everyone else stems from the more basic mistake that everyone's the same. Everyone's not the same. True, everyone heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai. But it affected people in different ways. You can have a person who is a Yari Shemayim. You can have a person who is a great, great tzaddik. You have a person who is a super tzaddik. You have a person who is a Gadol Ador. There are levels. And we have to recognize this. You know, this is the Sfarim say this is the idea. The Sfarim say this is one of the ideas in the Beis Hamikdash that there are different levels of kedusha. There's the Ezras Nashim, the Ezras Yisroel, and then there's where the Kohanim go, the Azara. Then there's the Heichal. Then there's the Kodesh Kadashim. Then in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Machmen over the Aron. The idea of levels, the idea that the world split up, not just Kodesh and Chol, but that there are levels within the world of Kedusha, is a basic Yesod and Jewish Hashkafa. And the Rav here is saying that was the root chait of Korach when he denied that basic Yesod. Once you say everyone's the same, so then, Taka, it's hard to understand why there should be Dafka, one leader. Oh, so this is the Rav on Korach, and it's a major yesod.
I just want to give an example of this idea of what happens when people don't realize that there are different levels. It's a classic example. I think it's somewhat common, unfortunately. And it really reflects a basic mistake. You know, the shul rabbi gives a sermon, and during the sermon he mentions some topic in halacha. Then people come home and they start saying, you know, the rabbi said this, but really it's a mistake. He doesn't know. I think differently. you know, when you have people who, you know, they're not so learned, they haven't spent so many years studying the topics in halacha, and they're making comments and arguing on what the show rabbi says. I want to discuss this point on several levels. It's a mistake. You have to recognize there are levels of people, some people more knowledgeable than others. But you know, let's think about it. Let's say there was a discussion in the newspaper, in the discussion on the news, you know, what caused the space shuttle? And 20 years ago, one of the space shuttles, there was a tragedy and it blew up. So what caused it to blow up? So let's say there are two guys at the Shabbos table. So one guy has a PhD in physical engineering and a PhD in chemical engineering, and he gives his opinion. Then somebody else says, no, listen, I studied biology in college. I took AP chemistry in high school, and I took two courses in chemistry in college, and here's my view. My view is different than yours. People say that's ridiculous. Why would somebody who in the field of engineering is a layman think he can have an opinion about something like this? He doesn't know. So in a parallel way, you know, we have to know that's what halacha is like. You know, a rav, who a show rabbi, gets up there and can paskin a shaila. You know what it means? You know what we have to learn to be able to paskin a shaila? The years of learning. You know, when you learn for smicha and you recognize how hard it is, you know, when a boy gets smicha, when a young man gets smicha, to really be someone who can paskin lots of shailas, you have to know a tremendous, tremendous amount. You recognize how what it means to know something. And so when a person gives a psak like that, you have to recognize, you know, that you know, who are you to start talking about it? It's exactly the same as a person who took one course in biology having an opinion in science different than the doctor. He doesn't know. So it's a serious mistake. It reflects this nekuda. This idea, for many people, this is a hard topic. Recognize that people above you, more knowledgeable than you, more chashiv than you. And if they say differently, you have to listen to what they say, and that's it. There's another reason why it's a bad idea at the Shabbos table to attack the show rabbi. It's another reason. And that is, it undermines the authority of the show rabbi in the neighborhood. You know, people are talking about, the rabbi. Let's say you think, this point is mentioned in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, when he's discussing how bad Lashon Hara is. His Lashon Hara about a show rabbi is even worse. Why? Because the show rabbi represents, he's building Torah in the neighborhood. And when you undermine his authority by attacking him, you're undermining his general influence. So therefore, let's say in this case you think maybe he's wrong. Okay, but 98% of the time the rabbi's on the side of Torah. And by you attacking him, you're undermining his authority. That's another reason why it's a mistake. A third reason, it's very bad chinuch for your children. It's very bad chinuch for one's children. Very bad. You know, generally speaking, you send your kids to school. They have teachers. You want your kids to listen to their teachers. Teachers say it's good to learn Torah. It's good to keep the mitzvos. It's good to have good midos. So you want them to listen to their teachers. When you undermine and attack a rav at the Shabbos table, you're training your kids to not trust the authority of Rabbanim so much. You know, kids are very—they're very sharp. If they see you attacking the show rabbi, they're less likely to listen to what their own rabbis in school say. And most of the time, almost all of the time, you want your kids to listen to the rabbis in school. So most of the time, you want the rabbis in school. That's a third reason why it's a bad idea. So this yesod of Korach, that everyone's the same. So this is part of the problem that people have when they start thinking, oh, I know as much as the show rabbi in halacha. I can argue on the show rabbi. It's a big mistake. I want to just explain a little further the different levels of the mistake it is. And, I know, let's say with my parents, so my parents have always been and are very makpid. I've never heard my parents say something derogatory about the rabbanim in my neighborhood. I can maybe remember on one hand the number of times my father disagreed with something the show rabbi said. Maybe, but always in a respectful way. So we went to school in the neighborhood, and the rabbis of the neighborhood were the rabbanim in the school. And I think that, that had a big influence on the fact that my brothers and my sister and I, you know, we listened to our Rabbanim. And Baruch Hashem, we're on the, you know, the path of serious orthodoxy. So I give my parents a lot of credit that it's very good to train your kids to respect and look up to these Rabbanim, their teachers, and the Shul Rabbi as well. So this is just a bit of an elaboration on this mistake that the Rav describes that Korach made. This is the root of the mistake. Before Korach said, who are you to be the leader? The very fact that you view everyone the same, it's a mistake. It's not true and it leads to problems. Oh, so that's the Rav's words on Korach. Okay, we'll stop here. I just wanted to add in, before closing this idea of Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Moshe has a similar idea in the Sefer Darash Moshe. And he just adds one nekuda. Rav Moshe says this, a similar idea that Korach said, Kol Eidu Kulam Kedoshim. He says Korach made a mistake that everyone can fill the Torah in his own way. Yeshu Lismach Al Havanaso. That's a Toz Gedola. Rav Moshe says you have to go out the Derech HaTorah, Ish Mi Pi Yish, based on the Chokhmei HaTorah, B'chol Dor B'Dor, based on the Masorah. Oh, and he says it's a terrible thing. And he quotes that this is a very beautiful pshat in Na'aseh V'Nishma. We say Na'aseh V'Nishma. We will do and we will hear. We will do and we will listen. We will do and we will hear. So Moshe explains that the term Nishma has the connotation of understanding. One connotation is understanding. It also means listening. To listen, to hear, to listen. So Moshe explains this is exactly the pshat. Naaseh v'nishma means we will do whatever Hashem says, naaseh. V'nishma, after the naaseh v'nishma, Moshe says, we will listen to what others explain to us about what the Torah means. This is in the Darash Moshe at the end of Mishpatim. Meaning it's not just the pshat, we will do what Hashem says and we will listen to all the other mitzvos. Well, of course, if you do what Hashem says, if you want to do what Hashem says, you have to listen to the mitzvos. It's more than that. It's more than just listening to the mitzvos. It's listening to what others tell us. We will listen to others, v'nishma, listen to others about what the mitzvah is all about. He says, we promised that we will do that which we listen and understand is the Ratzon Hashem, that we will sheshmia huma she'acherim masbirim lanu. V'rag zeu kiyum haTorah. You have to follow what others will say to you. So nishma means we will hear the mitzvahs of Hashem, we will try to understand them, and we will listen. We will listen as it's explained to us what is the proper approach and avodas Hashem. That's one angle on Naaseh v'Nishma. So according to Rav Moshe, this whole yesod that we just developed of the concept of Masorah, which is one of the major themes of the struggle of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu, this concept of Masorah is captured in the phrase Naaseh v'Nishma. It's a bit of a different twist on how we normally understand Naaseh v'Nishma. That's in the Sefer Darash Moshe. Okay, we'll stop here with the Rav's approach to Rebellion of Korach, and we will continue, Mirch Hashem, with Divrei Torah on the Parsha of Korach itself. Okay, we'll stop here for now.